Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You won't need no angels, you won't need no luck, you won't need no sympathy. You won't need no heaven to help you up. And you won't be needing me. Oh yeah, hold on for me.
Hey everyone, hello and welcome to yet another episode of In and Out Kabaddi. We hope you're not bored of us already. It's nearly the end of the season, so don't worry too much. Only one more game to go, Sahel, in Pro Kabaddi Season 4.
How come you never ask me if I'm ever bored of you, Dan?
Because I know the answer, and I don't want to hear it.
Okay, I'm glad. I'm glad we got that out of the way. Yeah, well, it's been fun. We are here after going across the country to going to every hotbed of Kabaddi across India. We are finally here in Hyderabad, and it's been quite the journey.
When we spoke last time, there were a few games to go and one space up for grabs. The last round of games was in Delhi, of course. You're now in Hyderabad. We've just had the semi-finals, which we will talk about. But first of all, let's look at who made that last spot in the semi-finals. And it really went down to the wire.
Yeah, it literally went down to the final day of the league phase, which is really a testament to how close season four has been for all these eight teams. And it literally went down to the last two games. Pune needed to beat Bangalore to pretty much seal the deal. They beat Bangalore by 3 points after being, I think, 9 points down at one point. And then U Mumbai had to beat Delhi by 45, which realistically wasn't possible. But it was a good showing from U Mumbai at the end. They beat Delhi by 4 points. But Pune deserving in the end to inch their way into the semi-final race.
And U Mumbai, you said 45 points they needed to see Delhi off, but also get past Pune. Pune, in the end, though, they really set themselves up against the home team, Delhi, with a 39-34 win. And it was quite a really strong statement to knock U Mumbai out, surely.
Yeah, I mean, those two games were must-wins for Pune, and credit to them, they really came out firing. Manji Chilla broke the record for the most number of tackles in a single game versus the Bengaluru Bulls. He picked up 11 tackles in that game. He was extraordinary, and he really came out leading the side from the get-go, and he had the raid department covered by Deepak Nivashoda. So between the two of them, they literally just completely blitzed Bangalore, and that sort of took the game away.
So Pune were the last spot into the semi-finals. They had, of course, the hardest game because they had to face the Patna Pirates. Going into the semi-final, what would have been in Pune's mind? How can they approach, what strategy could they have gone in with to unsettle Pardeep Nawal and co?
Well, you know, the biggest letdown for them, sadly, was that their right corner, Ravinder Pahal, picked up an injury in their last encounter versus Bangalore. And that really was quite a setback because they were coming up against a Patna Pirates unit, which were pretty much very, very well oiled and very well set. But they had Pardeep Nawal, who likes to sort of explore the court from one corner to the other as well. But the right corner for them had his number to some extent. And, you know, he was someone that goes in low with a diving tackle. So, and that is crucial against someone like Pardeep Nawal, who likes to go low as well with the dupki or the dive. So not having him was a big blow. What they needed to expect and what they needed to come into the encounter was realizing that Patna were looking more to their Iranians. And the guys from Iran are extraordinary with their skill sets. So that was something they needed to set up for. And Manjeet needed to realize that there was an over-reliance on Manjeet as a defender and over-reliance on Deepak Hooda as a raider. And those were the two concerns coming into the encounter. And sadly, that's exactly what happened.
And I'm racking my brains for which of the Iranian players it is who's actually at the top of the tackle count. He's, I think, second in, is it Faisal? I'll get there.
Yeah, it is Faisal Atrachali.
Faisal Atrachali, yeah. 44 tackles so far.
Yeah, I mean, he is phenomenal, Dan. I mean, he came across from the champion setup at U Mumbai. And, you know, he has been extraordinary. He went for a high price tag in the auction, and with good reason. He's made that left corner his very own. He's got his countrymen on the opposite corner. His name is Hadi Oshtarak, and those two, when they combine, they've put together some seriously good super tackles. The Patna Pirates, that's where they really have completely changed the course of games, because when they're down to two or three, while most sides just shrivel up and hand the all out to the opposition. These guys emerge and keep picking up super tackles with just two defenders and three defenders. And they did that, I think, seven times tonight versus the Puneri Paltin in super tackles. And remember, each of those super tackles gives you not one but 2 points. And that's where it just turned the game around, took the game away from Pune completely.
So the result, if you haven't heard it, sorry, we're about to ruin it for you. Patna 37, Pune 33. Deepak Nuas-Huda again was on form, as was Manjeet Chhillar again, with 7 tackle points and a super tackle as well. But they just didn't have enough to stick with the Patna Pirates. How good are Patna at the moment, and how much do you fancy them to go the whole way on Sunday?
You know, Dan, what was staggering for me was the fact that somewhere in between the game, when they were leading and they were actually inflicting super tackle after super tackle, Fazal Atrochali was given a yellow card, which means 2 minutes in the sin bin. And suddenly the course of the match changed. Pune then inflicted an all-out on Patna. They were suddenly reeling by 4 points. And momentum was with Pune. But for Patna to come back from there meant that they really have the stuff of champions in them. And that was, for me, what really, really, really impressed me. I mean, I stuck my neck out before the game and I said, a lot of people fancy Pune because of their experience. But I think this Patna setup has something special. And for me, I stuck my neck out and said, I think Patna is going to win this. And I'm glad I did, because they really just gave us a special treat to watch tonight.
And Kuldeep Singh seems to have done a good job for Patna defensively. 5 tackle points, a super tackle as well. That's a player we don't talk about that much, but he's standing his ground for his team.
Well, you know, actually, this is a mixed bag, because I know sitting there, the numbers look good. But sadly, when you watched it live, he made the most glaring errors. He had missed tackles after missed tackles, but to his credit, he had a couple of super tackles which helped the numbers go up, but he had support in those. But he had a lot of missed tackles which actually brought Pune back into the contest. So it's actually one of those cases where numbers can really lie. But yeah, I mean, he was good in patches. I think they still need to figure him out a little bit and just make him stay a little patient, because he's a little impatient with his tackles. But the two Iranians for me were just impeccable. They were something out of the ordinary. Hadi Oshtarak and Fazal Atrochali. And there's another Iranian who's over 6'5" in height, I think. Abol Fazal is his name. And he is just extraordinary with his raids. He comes in, and every time he's sent into raid, I've not seen him, you know, wriggle out of it without at least a point. And again, it was today he came into a do-or-die raid, made it look so simple, picked up a point, brought a revival back, and just went back and sat down on the bench, and that was it. But you know, he looks a special talent as well.
So for Patna, they head into the final on Sunday. They need to now look at the strategy, because they're up against the old enemy, Jaipur. My team, as we've said all along, and nailed my colours to the mast right at the start. Well, for me, they shocked Telugu Titans. I know Telugu are a team that you've really highlighted throughout the season, Sahel. And I'll be honest, I couldn't see Jaipur getting past them today. What went wrong for Telugu? They were a team who were going for their 10th win of the season, and they were really the form team.
I'll tell you quite simply, Dan, for me, what went wrong was the way they approached the game. Telugu are a side that love aggression, that come out firing, and when they do, they take the game by the scruff of the neck and take it away from the opposition completely. When you slow the pace of the game down, you play into the hands of an experienced side. You play into the hands of a side like Jaipur Pink Panthers, who like to control the pace of the game through Jasveer and Shabir Bapu, and they've got the experience to slow things down completely. So when the game's neck and neck, and you're only, you know, leading by 2 or 1, or you're sort of jostling for those points, it really plays into the hands of Jaipur completely. And that's sadly exactly what the Telugu Titans did coming out. Maybe home pressure, maybe big game pressure. Again, semi-finalists wanting the final really bad, went into a bit of a shell, and that was it. I mean, at halftime when they went in, I think it was a lead of 2 points. I said right there, it's done. Jaipur's winning this by a country mile. And it exactly unfolded that way in the second half.
That's an amazing call. And they did, of course, go on to win by 10 points. But even Jasveer chipping in with some pretty decent tackles by the look of it. A super tackle as well from the old boy.
Yeah, he came in with a super tackle, which was quite impressive. You know, they had Rajesh Narwal, who again stepped up to the plate with four points in total. But the two corners were special again. You know, that combination has worked so well for Jaipur. Amit Hooda on the right corner and Ransing on the left corner were sublime. Again, 4 tackles to each of them, and they really switched it on. It's very hard to see no points to Shabir Bapu and no points to Rohit Rana and see the team do well. So that's a great sign for Jaipur, because without two men who we thought were the keys in that unit, firing, they're still succeeding. And the new lad who's really risen to the occasion is Ajay Kumar, who's been the emerging star in that side.
Six touch points for Kumar. And you stole my next question, which was, what's gone wrong with Shabir Bapu? I know you mentioned a few podcasts ago he was injured. He played on, I think from memory, it was against Patna because they wanted psychologically to have him on the pitch. Is it still an injury that's plaguing him?
Yeah, you know, this is where it's quite sad to see, because Shabir Bapu played with a fractured forearm for a large part of season three. He's picked up a hamstring injury in this season. But also, this is credit to the Jaipur Pink Panthers think tank and to Abhishek Bachchan, because they've just kept him on the mat. They said, look, you don't have to do much, Shabir, but you are such an astute mind. You're such a thinker of the game that we just want you on the mat controlling things, giving us your insights as to what to do, just controlling the pace a little bit, you know, just monitoring the situation in the defense. And he does that beautifully. You know, he may not initiate tackles. He's got 0 raid points and 0 tackle points, but his contribution on court is invaluable.
When Jaipur really looked back through the statistics as well, and one thing they'll have noted before the semi-final is Telugu actually had, I think it's 3 of the top 10 tacklers in the league, in Vinod, in Sandeep Dhul, and I think it's Sandeep Nawal as well. But out of those 3 top tacklers, they only actually picked up 4 tackle points. That's really quite impressive by the Raiders for Jaipur.
Well, actually, 3 tackle points, yeah, between the 3 of them, and that's a disappointment. All 3 of those coming to Sandeep Dhul. Well, no tackles to Sandeep Narwal and no tackles to Vinod, and that for me is a sign of their lack of aggression. When Sandeep Narwal has 1 raid point and no tackle points, you know that something's gone wrong. Jasmer Singh Gulia, 0 tackle points. Sandeep Narwal, 0 tackle points. That is never a good sign for the Telugu Titans. And you know when you see those numbers that these guys have certainly gone into their shell.
We now know it's the Pink Panthers and Patna in the final. It's a replay of series season 3, is it not, Sahel?
No, Dan. It was the Patna Pirates taking on New Mumbai in that one.
Of course, 2 previous winners. It's Friday here. It's late on a Friday. I should be down the pub having a beer.
Yeah. Possibly, Dan. Possibly. Don't go cloud your mind anymore. No, it's fine. It's fine. It's totally okay. It does help that I've been calling the shots in every one of those finals. I do remember them quite vividly. So you're excused with that one.
That's it. Kabaddi wasn't quite on my radar when Jaipur first won it. So going into the final, we know Patna are the sort of, I see them as the more powerful team. They obviously won. They were top of the rankings at the end of the season. Is there any way Jaipur can steal it?
They can, because again, it's the same thing as what Telugu have done. You know, if the Patna Pirates don't play the way they normally do, if they don't play with aggression and they just play with the pace of the game that Jaipur dictates, it really does play into Jaipur's hands completely. So what Patna have to do is come out firing, come out aggressive. Use Pardeep Narwal, Rajesh Mondal and Surjit Singh to just attack early, and then use Fazal and the Iranians to defend heavy at the start. And if you can pull off an 8-point lead, a 6-point lead early, that means you've got the game in your hand. But if you play to the pace of Jaipur, you are done.
And come Sunday evening, who do you think will have been crowned champions?
Oh, it's a tough one. And I'm actually going to stick my neck out and say this, not because of the Raiders, but because of the supporting Raiders and the defenders. I'm going to go with Patna, because not because of Pardeep Narwal, but because they have the perfect supporting act in Rajesh Mondal, Abul Fazal and Surjit Singh as the supporting Raiders for Pardeep Narwal. And they've got such a good defensive lineup on the corners. They've got the 2 Iranians who are working well together. They've got Dharmraj Chettilathan, who didn't even play much of this game in the semi-final. And then they've got Kuldeep Singh, and they've got Bajirao Hodige. So I don't see a leak in that defensive unit, which is, for me, the most important thing.
I agree with you on that. I think I the way I see it, and I'm basing this on the Patna defence again, like you say, I think Jasveer might just run out of ideas. And if Jasveer runs out of ideas and the other guys look at their captain in the final and it's not working for them, I think you might be right. I think Patna could be winners once more. So the Hyderabad crowd, they would obviously have been absolutely gutted to see their team crash out today. How do you think they will bounce back for the finals? Will they be out in force? Will they still be passionate and getting behind one of the 2 teams?
Well, you know, that's the beauty of the south of India in many ways. There's many neutral supporters that come out to watch the sport and not just their team. And you see that quite vividly in Hyderabad, in Bangalore, in Chennai. And, you know, I mean, it's good to see with these cities because they come out and appreciate the sport. And we saw a lot of that today with the first game. We saw a packed house even in the first encounter where the home side wasn't even playing. So, you know, it's good to see that straight up. And it's a good sign because come Super Sunday with the grand finale, we expect much of the same. And they are a loud crowd to have, which is great.
Sahel, it's time for an in and out of. And this week, I want you to give us the in and out of why the chain tackle is so special.
Well, the chain tackle is something that's very unique to the sport. And in many ways, as I said earlier, a few podcasts ago, the name originates from the Tamil word kaipidi, which is holding hands. And in a chain tackle, you are literally holding and trusting the person next to you to support you in a tackle. You've got the person in chain with you going down with your hand gestures, your impulse, and with the way your body language dictates to then trap a raider. If a raider goes low and he goes in with a dupki or a dive, and we see it, you see the raiders, the defenders rather, in the chain tackle going even lower to try and sweep them off their feet. A chain tackle basically gives you the strength of two and a combined strength basically to then literally run across a defender, a raider, and slam him into the chest and throw him off balance completely. It's so special because you've got this coordination that needs to come in. You can see the defensive units swinging around and you'll see this pendulum formation come across and this chain tackle then come in and unleash itself. It's a beautiful move to watch, and it actually starts about 4 seconds before the actual tackle happens. And you'll see the initiation throwing the raider off guard completely. But it's just the art of moving with the raider and then trying to sweep him completely off his feet or kick him, take him off the ground completely with the strength of your two hands coming together. It's quite a unique skill. It's unique to the sport of kabaddi in many ways, and yeah, it's a great one to watch.
Sahel, just before we go, the third, fourth place playoff, which I always find funny sort of analysing in great detail, because what do you need to know about a third, fourth place playoff? Neither team want to be in there, really. Neither team want to be exerting themselves too much. But can Telugu bounce back on home soil and give the fans something to cheer about by finishing third?
I think it's going to be hard because Pune look really dented today, and Manjeet looks like he wants something out of this league. But at the same time, you know, this is going to be the hard one to call, actually, because I think Telugu obviously have a point to prove in front of their home crowd. Now they'll come out all guns firing from the get-go, and it may not count for much, but, you know, when they do that, they look really damaging. So if the right Telugu Titans side turns up, then, yeah, I mean, they have every opportunity to at least clinch third.
And you think they will?
Oh, it's a tough one. This is, strangely, one of those that I have no hunch on. But I've got a feeling Pune might take this one, actually. But I don't know. I mean, I'm very torn because I've got this weird feeling that Pune will start well and Telugu will then take the game away. So let's see.
It's a funny one, isn't it? It's kind of calling who will be the least flat team of the two.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it for another episode of In and Out Kabaddi. We will be back on Monday with a final review of the final games from Sunday. And we will see whether our predictions have been right, whether Patna do walk away as Pro Kabaddi League 4.
And also whether my hangover is terrible or if it's good enough for me to have a voice on Monday morning.
You'll have to whisper your way through it if your voice is really struggling.
Yeah, we'll get there, Dan. I've been through a month and a half now, and I've been good. Not a drop of alcohol has gone down my throat. Sunday, that might change.
Back on the Bacardi Breezers, Smirnoff Ices?
Thanks, Dan. No, not quite, Dan. Not quite. Hey. Give me my single malt days have kicked in, by the way. So my Japanese single malts have come in.
Single malt. Your tastes have developed since I last saw you, Sahel.
There was never a Bacardi Breezer in my life, Daniel Strange.
Brilliant. Don't forget, we're all over Instagram, we're all over Twitter. It's at In and Out Kabaddi. Subscribe on iTunes or through Blubbery, or see it on danstrange.tv as well. We'll be back with more on Monday. Sahel, have a brilliant time commentating on the final.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
And we'll see you all soon. Take care.
Take care. Bye, guys. One day I'll say I told you so that. I'll never leave you in the wilderness I found.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.